Sports Radio 1290. CFRW, Winnipeg. All sports.
The throw home. He is safe.
All the time. The following is a special Sports Radio 1290 presentation. Sports Radio 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
Good morning, universe. And welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Ezra Ginsberg, filling in for the departed Drew Mandel.
Who's not gotten the show forever, Ez.
Just for this week, unfortunately. He'll be back on Monday when we do our trade deadline show here on Sports Radio 1290. I'm joined here in studio, to my left, with Richard Pollock, and to my right, Michael Remus. Hey now, boys.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Ez.
Oh, Drew.
Yes.
Wow, an early start. He's already throwing you right under the bus there, Ezzy.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, Drew is not here, so I'm filling in for him, and hopefully I do an admirable job for him. As Drew would say, we have an action-packed show. Today we're basically previewing the NHL trade deadline, which is coming up in, about
48 hours.
Yeah, 48 hours. TSN starting their coverage on Monday at 7 in the morning, so less than 48 hours is when TSN's coverage is going to start, and the actual deadline is, about 55 hours away or something. So it's 2 days away. It's not that far away. So, Richie, we're going to start off. We're going to recap last night's games, and then we'll preview Saturday's games quickly, and then basically the first hour of the show is going to be, going over the trades that happened this week. Last week we had, about 10 trades, and during this week we had, five or six trades. There was a couple of minor trades, but a few of them were pretty significant. When you consider, Alexei Kovalev moved, and obviously James Neal, that was this week.
That was the blockbuster trade this week, the James Neal and Matt Niskanen trade for, trading those two guys from Dallas to Pittsburgh for Alexander Goligoski. Wow, big trade. You're trading a top four, defender, young top four defender for a young top six winger, and then a puck-moving defenseman who people can, give or take.
Keep it for the next segment, though, because we have a lot to say about that.
We have our guest.
And we have Shelly Anderson coming up at 10 o'clock. Shelly Anderson's been on our show many times before. She was on about a month ago, right after Sidney Crosby went down against the Tampa Bay Lightning. So we have Shelly Anderson coming up at 10. And also at 10:45, quarter to 11, we have Adam Proto of the Hockey News. He's been on our show before, and he's going to come on the show and talk to us about the trade deadline and some of the trades that happened, this past week. So first off, we're going to recap last night's action. There was 9 games in the NHL last night. And, we'll start off with probably, the game where there was the most controversy, and that was New York-Washington. The Rangers beat Washington 6-0. Lundqvist picked up his 8th shutout of the season, but the controversy happened between Mike Green and Derek Stepan. Derek Stepan was hit from behind by Mike Green, and then he kind of got up and retaliated and delivered a blow to the head of Green, and Green left the game. So, we're expecting Derek Stepan to be suspended probably for a minimum of 2 games, maybe more.
He'll likely be suspended, as he. I mean, it was Stepan was getting angry, and he reacted to Green's head. Green's head was dirty. And did he mean to hit him in the head? I don't know. I mean, but shoulder to head, that is, a headshot. And I didn't think it was maybe as dirty as maybe it was made out to be, but it's a suspendable offense, and you have to police, the Colin Campbell has to police the game.
And I think the reason why it probably looked bad on, for Stepan is that he got up.
That's right.
And it was clearly a retaliatory thing where he was upset, and it was a head-hunting thing. So
that's
why he might get 4
games.
Why
didn't they call the first penalty? It doesn't happen that way. If the ref calls a penalty on Green, the thing's calmed down, but he didn't.
Well, Carey Fraser was already quoted by TSN as saying that there was 2 missed calls on that play.
That's right.
So, the referees missed something there. And in another game where there was, big news that wasn't necessarily related to the score, Carolina beat Pittsburgh at home 4-1, and Eric Staal went down with what they're calling a upper body injury.
Oh.
So we're not sure exactly what it is, if it's a shoulder or, but,
for a team that's in the race, you can't lose Eric Staal.
Right.
You can't lose him. He's your top center. He's your best player. Him and Cam Ward are going to be carried. They're the horses there. If you lose Eric Staal, Atlanta, the Maple Leafs, for God's sake, Buffalo, these teams become far more dangerous, or you know, you become less dangerous, and therefore they become more dangerous. I mean, it's a very difficult situation for you know the East. The bottom of the East is terrible. I mean, let's call a spade a spade. The bottom of the East is junk. This Carolina team's not great. Atlanta's tanking. The Leafs are horrible. Buffalo's untapped potential. And so the question is, you know, which one of these awful teams is going to get into the playoffs?
In Columbus, the Blue Jackets beat the Coyotes 5-3. Matt Calvert, who's from Brandon, scored his first career hat trick. Columbus, surprisingly, is sticking around, and you know they're still a long shot maybe to get into the playoffs,
well,
but they're sticking around.
By all accounts, Eddie, they're a buyer.
Yeah, they're definitely not a seller at this point, because if you pick up a couple more wins,
they're only 2 points out of the playoffs.
Exactly.
I mean, the truth is, 2 points out of the playoffs with three teams between them, but they have games in hand. They've played the least amount of games in the Western Conference, only 60 games. So right now, they're probably slated for close to the playoffs, but you know, who are they going to knock out? It remains to be seen. I mean, this Columbus team, to me, I don't know why you'd buy, because the truth is, you might buy, you make it in the first round, and you're probably going to lose. But again, I mean, that you know, every organization has different expectations. Columbus wants to win a playoff game. Their fans are, every year, the fans are tailing off, because the team hasn't done anything since the organization's inception.
Right, and you mentioned, too, if they're a buyer, you have to think that, you know, now it has to be a number one defenseman. I mean,
to be any kind of defenseman.
You're not in a position to give up anybody on forward. I mean, you're not going to give up a Jakub Voracek or a Filatov. In the next game that took place last night, Tampa Bay defeated New Jersey 2-1, snapping a New Jersey win streak.
Can we stop the New Jersey playoff junk already?
Yeah.
It's enough.
Well, I mean, Richie, this is we said that they can only lose four games, so yeah. This is one game.
There
so
you go.
Every game they lose. That's
more importantly, every game, every point that teams ahead of them in the standings, like I just said, Buffalo, Toronto, Atlanta, Carolina. Every time they get points, that's a bad thing for New Jersey.
Florida beat Atlanta 2-1 last night. Another team that really can't afford to lose. Atlanta's been sliding basically since, I mean, early January. We talked about that, how a guy like Dustin Byfuglien, yeah, everybody was talking about how good he was on defense, and now he's been in a scoring slump and hasn't been.
When you bleed shots on goal, Ezzy, and when you have a terrible penalty kill, it's hard to win in the National Hockey League.
Right. And they don't exactly have the deepest team, and they're one of those teams that probably is going to become a seller. Maybe. Just quickly, we've got three more games here to cover from last night. Ottawa was defeated by Buffalo 4-2 last night. You know, Ottawa traded Kovalev.
Well,
they've only got so many guys left now.
That's an AHL team,
right? And
Ryan Murray said it. He said, "I'm not going to be able to make any trades. Half my roster is an AHL roster."
Yeah, and Buffalo.
But they want to lose.
Buffalo was glad to play Ottawa last night, because Buffalo probably is more of a legitimate shot to make the East than Atlanta is.
Interesting Buffalo thing, Ezzy, because they have a new owner now. They have a new owner, and it's interesting because now their new owner wants to spend to the cap.
Right.
And so, and Kevin Allen had a good point. You know, in his one of his blog posts, Kevin Allen of the USA Today, a guest of this show on a number of occasions, he made the mention, you know, how's Darcy Regier going to work under, you know, a maximum amount of salary cap room? He can spend to the cap, essentially, now. We were talking about a billionaire coming in wanting to spend a lot of money. Regier's always worked under, you know, certain salary constraints. It's going to be very interesting to see what he can do, because he's a very talented general manager.
Richie, a few other games in the West. One of the games that I wanted to bring up last night, Minnesota scored with 6 seconds left in overtime and defeated the Anaheim Ducks 3-2. And
beautiful goal by Pierre-Marc Bouchard.
Pierre-Marc Bouchard scored in overtime, 6 seconds left on a pass from Brent Burns, who's having a very underrated season. Uh-huh. Minnesota has now jumped, leapfrogged a few teams, and is now in sixth in the West.
Yep.
Surprisingly, I mean, Minnesota, who I infamously said was the worst team in the league this year,
yeah,
is proving me wrong.
They're not very good. But yeah, they're playing well, but they're not very good.
We'll see what happens.
Average teams can play well.
They might be overachieving, but hey, they beat the Anaheim Ducks last night. Two more scores here, and then we're going to just quickly go over the games that are happening today. St. Louis shut out Edmonton 5-0. Nothing much to say there. St. Louis has got a slim hope
of
making the playoffs.
Chris Stewart, two goals.
Yep. Edmonton's, you know, they're 30th. What else can you say? And the last game was Calgary was defeated by San Jose 4-3 in overtime.
You know, bad loss for Calgary. They're leading 3-2 with 4 minutes left in the game. 4 minutes left in the game, giving up a goal. And then losing in a shootout. I mean, you take the point against San Jose, but you're at home and you have a one goal lead and you're a good defensive team. You got to win that game.
And quickly, Richie, we've just got a preview Saturday's games here. There's 8 games scheduled. We've got our first game of the afternoon is coming up at 1 Central Time, 2 p.m. Eastern, in between Nashville and Dallas, two teams that have fallen big time there in the West. That's a game that I want to watch just because Dallas, who, you know, at one point was looking like a buyer going into the trade deadline. Now, that's another team. Have they become a seller? And is that going to impact them moving Brad Richards?
They should be a seller, Ez. I mean, have they become one? It's a good question, but they should be one. Larry Brooks had a hilarious article this week that Joe Nieuwendyk talked to Glenn Slater and asked for Mark Stahl, Brandon Dubinsky, and Derek Stepan for Brad Richards, which is probably the funniest thing I've ever. That's clearly not correct information, but that's probably the funniest article I've ever read, in all the newspapers I've read, and I've read many newspapers. I mean, doing the morning papers for thelegalcurve.com for years. I mean, that is the funniest offer / tabled offer I've ever heard of. I mean, it's just absolutely absurd.
Two afternoon games, both Western Conference battles. Colorado and L.A. is coming up at 3 Central, 4 Eastern. L.A. Finished their road trip and then came back and won the first game back at home. LA is another one of those teams that has just skyrocketed up the standings. At one point, I think they were in 10th or 11th.
Nobody wants to play
now
them.
They're in 7th. The other game we wanted to highlight is Pittsburgh at Toronto. Pittsburgh has been sliding, and Toronto, I mean, yesterday they were 4 points behind. Now they're 6 points behind, but that's going to be the showcase game tonight. And then the late game, you've got Boston and Vancouver. So
that's a great game. Boston-Vancouver, that's the game of the night right there.
Every single game it has playoff implications.
That's what Gary Bettman wants. I mean, a lot of terrible teams here in the race. You know, he said what he wants to do, what he said last week we're going to break here. What he wants to do is make sure every team has a chance. You know what? Sure, every team has a chance, but a bunch of these teams are garbage.
Yeah, in the East, there's a few teams. Buffalo and Toronto are still nipping at the heels.
Toronto, have you seen that roster?
They're not exactly, they haven't been a consistent team this year. So we're going to go to break now, and when we come back, we're actually going to start going over all of the pre-NHL trade deadline deals, which is probably going to take us right till 10 o'clock. We got Shelly Anderson coming up from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I am Ezra Ginsberg filling in for Drew, who, if you missed it, is in Kentucky right now, the state of Kentucky.
Drew's a wedding planner.
Drew's planning out there.
Saw a great movie last night, by the way.
The Wedding Planner?
No, isn't The Wedding Singer.
Oh, yeah.
Which one's Wedding Planner? Is that with Julia Roberts?
That's with J-Lo. Julia Roberts is my best friend's wedding.
Oh, God. Have you seen that one?
No.
Richie, you saw Barney's Virgin last night.
Yeah, Barney's Virgin. Great movie. I really highly recommend it. Star cast. Paul Giamatti, Dustin Hoffman, Minnie Driver.
Who's the director?
Richard Lewis, but it's a different Richard Lewis.
IMDb'd
it this morning, yeah. Excellent movie, though. I highly recommend it. Had some good popcorn. You go to the place, they have popcorn there, and they offer you 69 cents for butter. I mean, there's already so much butter on it.
No,
so
but
I
didn't go to that station and just get free butter.
I didn't know. I don't go to the movies. I don't like movies. They're too long. And so I went and I didn't get butter. And then I walked to the station and I got Basel, and I'm using the quotes right now in here, Basel for free. Seemed like the same thing as butter to me.
I wonder if a movie theater would be upset if you brought in outside butter. Like if you brought in your own.
Like, imagine if you brought in like a hairdryer and like your own like slab of butter.
Exactly.
And just melted it onto your popcorn.
And popcorn. On the topic of movies, I'm a traditionalist. I think that you go to a movie, you get popcorn. You have to get popcorn to watch a movie.
I wasn't actually didn't eat dinner yesterday, so I went to the movie because I came from hockey practice. We were at practice, and I ate popcorn as my dinner. I was done it before the end of the previews.
Popcorn can actually serve as a dinner. It's a vegetable.
By the way, the previews are like 20 minutes. What the heck is going on with
just get longer
these
and
movies?
Longer. They used to not have previews of movies. Now they actually have previews like an hour. Like if you go into a theater. Although, 20 minutes before the movie, that there's previews.
I will say, all the previews did look quite good. There's this movie about people walking around the Himalaya Mountains or something.
Himalayan walking shoes?
What's it called? It looks from Siberia. It looks very good. With, what's his name? What's that guy's name? I forget.
Dolph Lundgren.
Ed Harris, yeah.
Good solid actor right there.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically this segment, we are starting off a 45-minute run here of recapping this week's trades. There's probably been, 19 or 20 trades now in the last 3 weeks. And it might be cutting down some of the deals that are going to happen on Monday. But if you look at some of the names that are being bandied about, I still think that we're still going to see, you know, 15 to 20 trades on trade deadline.
Well, and that's just it. And first of all, yeah, as you mentioned, we're on Monday from 2 to 7, special show here on the special Legal Curve Hockey Show on 12 Sports Radio, 1290. That's going to be a great time. Now, the truth is, as you mentioned, there's been about 20 trades. However, there have, you know, guys who are still yet to be traded, as you read about Brad Richards, like something like that. And we're going to talk about those guys later. Brad, we're going to talk about every team and their needs. Brad Richards, for example, Alex Hemsky, Dustin Penner, Paul Stastny has been rumored to be going, Brian McCabe. I mean, there's still lots of big names to be dealt, I think. So I think Monday is still going to be action-packed. You know, some of these trades that have occurred, especially the Eric Johnson trade and now the James Neal trade, which you're going to analyze, caught everybody by surprise. You're talking about players being traded right before their prime. It's risky. It's a risky move, but I like it.
And to recap that trade, the James Neal trade that Richie was talking about, the Pittsburgh Penguins sent defenseman Alex Goligoski to the Dallas Stars.
24 years old, Alex Goligoski, $1.83 million cap hit through the end of next season.
From Dallas coming to Pittsburgh is James Neal, who basically skyrocketed to people's minds into stardom. Maybe stardom is a little bit overstated,
yeah,
but
a little bit.
James Neal kind of came onto the scene last year with Dallas, kind of a late bloomer, and this year, you know, has been playing very well in that first line. Is coming over to Pittsburgh. Is on Pittsburgh now because, you know, it's been 5 days now with Matt Niskanen. And a lot of reaction from the hockey world centered around James Neal, and rightly so, because Pittsburgh, you know, based on the fact that they've always had a strength at center and mm-hmm. kind of always had, you know, question marks on the wing. I mean, they picked up Alexei Ponikarovsky last year, and they've aside from Pascal Dupuis and Chris Kunitz playing with Crosby, they haven't really had consistent lines.
Those guys aren't anything special either. I agree. Yeah. They've addressed a need. And James Neal is 22 years old. He is $2.875 million cap hit through the end of next season, so he costs more. Dallas gets a little bit of a reprieve in terms of salary here, as well as Matt Niskanen traded in the deal. A friend of Sidney Crosby's got a $1.5 million cap hit through next year. So Pittsburgh's,
what's the connection there between Niskanen and Crosby?
I believe they played at... they know each other through playing, I think, Shattuck St. Mary's, I believe.
Oh, okay.
They're around the same age, and they are buddies. Niskanen's actually a puck mover. He's not bad. We'll talk about him quickly. Not overly physical, can move the puck and play second power play minutes. Not the worst throw in there, and he wasn't really talked about. But the main part of the deal is, I think there are trades that are win-win. I really do. And I think this trade, as you said, it addresses a need for Pittsburgh. They needed scoring, they needed a winger. He addresses both those things. He's big, he's strong, he can go to the net, he's got a good shot, needs to be a little bit more consistent, and you know, he's maybe a little bit less aggressive since last year's concussion. And concussions are obviously a serious issue around the National Hockey League, but he's the kind of guy you put with Sidney Crosby can score 40 goals. Now, having, you know, they talk about, oh, putting, you know, put Neal with Crosby, look what he can do. Well, let me tell you something right now. James Neal's been playing with Brad Richards, who's probably a top five passer in the National Hockey League. So while his numbers will go up, because Crosby's the best player in the world, they're not going to go up, you know, substantially. He's a potential 40-goal scorer. But as you're giving up potentially a top two National Hockey League defenseman, and you know, are wingers easier to come by than top defensemen? In my opinion, yes, they are. So I see this as a win-win for both teams. Not the landslide Pittsburgh win that some people made it out to be.
Who initiated this trade? Did Joe Nieuwendyk initiate the trade, or did Ray Shiro initiate this trade?
You know, that's a great question, and I have to assume it was Shiro because he needed to address the wing issue, and he also saw a team that needed to get rid of some salary. But the Dallas Stars, you look at their defense guys, and we've talked about their defense is pretty bad. I mean, Robidas is solid, and then you have, you know, Daly, Grossman, Skrasten, Fistrich, Wojtka, those six guys. I mean, out of those puck-moving defensemen, you know, Skrasten, Fistrich, Wojtka and Grossman aren't exactly anything to write home about. You know, Daly can move the puck well, and Robidas can move it well. But Goligoski is the most offensively talented of the bunch. He adds in a different element. He's the number one defenseman there. You know, him and Robidas, they're the one too.
And Richie, when you say win-win, that is a great point, because when you think that, think about how Dallas. First off, Dallas might not make the playoffs this year. Pittsburgh, it's not a.
It's a trade for the future for both teams.
Pittsburgh's making the playoffs.
Right.
Essentially, they've already clinched a playoff spot. But Dallas might miss the playoffs. When you think about what this does for the future for both teams, let's say that Neal, you know, averages 35 and maybe pops in 40 goals next year, the year after. That's fine. If Alex Goligoski is going to be your number one defenseman,
right,
and basically give you something that you haven't had since Zubov, Sergei Zubov,
yeah, exactly,
who retired a few years ago, then it is a win-win trade for both teams, because Dallas, even though Dallas was one of the top teams in the West up until basically, you know, 5 weeks ago, they have issues. I mean, they had the Brad Richards thing. They've had the ownership problems. So this can really benefit both teams. Even what people are saying is that, well, Neil's a 40 goal guy, so they got the better player. But a 50 point defenseman, isn't that the same as a 40 goal forward when you really compare apples and oranges?
You can log 22 minutes a game. Phil's a need for both teams. I think both GMs did well here. Shiro's aggressive. He seems to always be able to address the team's need. And Nieuwendyk is reforming his organization. And I think what he did here is he admits, okay, you know, we have a need. Who cares about this season in that sense? We need to address this need moving forward. And James Neal is a good player, and I really like James Neal's game. I mean, he's got good hands, I said. He's a power forward. He can go to the net. He's got a pretty good shot. But when you can add a defenseman, you know, Niskanen to them was expendable. And when you can add a defenseman like that, they don't grow on trees. And I think he had to jump at the opportunity. And he's got a guy like Jamie Benn who can jump into a top six role and play the wing in the meantime while they're waiting for, you know, to try and trade Mike Ribeiro. Or if they trade Brad Richards, Jamie Benn can hop in there right away. They have some talent that they can push in there.
Richie, do you think that, you know, this trade has anything to do with moving Brad Richards based on the fact that, you know, there's the salary issue and whether Brad Richards wants to sign before he's traded?
Maybe, as in, I don't know if anybody knows the salary issues there, because the truth is that I don't think Nieuwendyk really knows what's going on with ownership. So it's tough to say in that respect. Good question, though. Fair question. Don't know.
Right, last night, Bob McKenzie, who we tried to get on this week, but obviously Bob McKenzie's
consumed,
pretty much the busiest man in the hockey world right now. He's got that BlackBerry, which is basically buzzing every nanosecond.
He's hilarious with that BlackBerry. He just like checks it while he's in the studio, with shows. They're hosting a show, he's this analyst, and the host is talking, he's just on his BlackBerry.
Well, Bob McKenzie, you know,
it's like BBMing Remus.
He's the hockey insider. He's on TSN all the time, and he was even on Off the Record with Michael Landsberg yesterday.
He was on Monday too.
You know, Bob McKenzie, obviously, who we've grown up with and looked at as basically, you know, the most knowledgeable hockey guy, used to write for the Hockey News. We're gonna have Adam Proto of the Hockey News, by the way, on at 10:45 today. But Bob McKenzie, the way he talks about hockey, I mean, he's the number one source.
Oh, yeah.
He has his pulse on everything. He knows. He was talking to, you know, Michael Landsberg about how Brad Richards is complicated salary situation. He kind of has a pulse on everything, and he isn't sure what's going to happen. And to be honest with you, that's where we use him as the number one source, because he's so well connected in the hockey world and has been doing this for so long.
He's over 100,000 followers on Twitter. He's like three behind you.
We'll get him on eventually. We have to. I know that we've wanted to get him on before, and you know, hopefully we'll get him on at a certain time. And Richie, obviously, the other trade that happened involving Pittsburgh was picked up Alexei Kovalev for a seventh round draft pick. Yeah. That took place a few days ago. Do you think that Alexei Kovalev is going to benefit this team? Obviously, it's only for this year. So is he going to benefit the team in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, he'll help in the power play. Sure. I mean, what people don't talk about Alexei Kovalev is, man, he is so slow. It's unbelievable how slow he is. My grandmother beat him in a race, for God's sake. That's why he didn't make Team Russia in the Olympics, you know, for other reasons. He couldn't skate well enough. You know, in a power play situation when there's more room to create, yes, I think he is a valuable player, especially with Malkin and those guys not there, because Kovalev likes the puck on the stick, and those guys do too. So it's not a bad thing in terms of quarterbacking, and he's obviously got a terrific shot and good hands. But, you know, I mean, he packed it in for the Senators for 2 years, for the most part.
It's funny.
His even strength numbers were very, very
similar. It's funny. I think Tim would agree with me that Kovalev packed it in when he was in Montreal, too.
At times. But, you know, his numbers and even strength were fairly similar in Ottawa to Montreal. Just his ice time was way down. It was never a fit there, and he took the money, whatever. Don't blame him in that respect. But, you know, is he a difference maker? No. That's what people, you know, talk about his potential. I wrote that on Twitter. He said, Alexei Kovalev's 38 years old, guys. He is what he is. He isn't what he was, because he's 38 years old.
Right, and that's why Brian Murray, you know, deserves the criticism he's getting for signing him for 2 years at $10 million, because he signed him to be a difference maker. He didn't sign him to be a power play specialist.
Was that him or Eugene Melnyk? Because that's what the talk always was.
Yeah, there was pressure there to add him.
To sign him.
Okay, we're going to quickly go to break. We're going to keep previewing this week's trades.
Reviewing
this week's trades. We've got Shelley Anderson coming up at 10. She's going to talk to us about the Pittsburgh Penguins, Sidney Crosby's health, She's going to talk to us about the moves that we were just
analyzing. Before the break, Remus, what's going on here? Where can we be reached online?
Oh, you can reach us online at illegalcurve.com. We got a great cover live chat right now, you know, being led by our usual host, Drew Mandel. Some very insightful commentary in there. And follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/illegalcurve.
And Facebook?
Facebook.com/illegalcurve as well.
We're everywhere. We're omnipresent.
I guess Michael Drew's obviously got an internet connection there in Kentucky, which is nice to see. So keep it locked here. Shelley Anderson, Adam Proto, lots of trade talk. We're going to preview... What I meant to say was we're going to preview needs and wants of every single NHL team in the league, team by team, division by division.
We're going team by team. We're going division by division.
Keep it locked here. All we're talking about is hockey. So if you like hockey, keep listening. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This is a hockey show. My name is Ezra. I'm joined by Richard to my left and Michael to my right.
He's on all Drew's lines right now.
Yeah. Drew's in Kentucky. If you have missed it, we've already mentioned it three times, but Drew, I know you're listening. How are you doing, Drew?
Okay. Silence, just what we wanted.
We're going to continue.
First time we can silence Drew.
We're going to continue recapping trades here. And then we are going to have Shelley Anderson on at 10 o'clock.
Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
She writes for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. She comes on to our show a lot. She helps us out a lot with breaking down, you know, basically what's happening in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is always, you know, newsworthy, really. And this year, you know, you go back to the Winter Classic. We had Shelley on, and we were talking about the Winter Classic. And then, obviously, Sidney Crosby's injury. And we're going to have to talk to her again about Sidney Crosby because maybe there's an update. Maybe there isn't, Richie. But right now, I mean, there's 10 question marks, you know, basically above Sidney Crosby's head. He hasn't skated. He hasn't been working out. We have no idea if he's coming back at all this year.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to come back right now. That's what I've been reading, but we'll see. You never know with concussions, right?
Well, let's hope that he does come back because, you know, Sidney Crosby, you know, is the face of the NHL right now. And, you know,
Alexander Ovechkin playing like a 14-year-old girl this year.
Yeah, well, Alexander Ovechkin, I think, might be sent down to Hershey.
Unbelievable. I mean,
you know, just to wake him up.
That's
I don't
my
know what's
six
going
things
on.
Later this later to
I don't know what's
morning.
Going on. He actually going into that game yesterday against New York, he had a point streak, a 4-game point streak going. But I mean, he's the Washington Capitals, if they hadn't started so well, they might actually be
in danger
of missing the playoffs.
I love, you know, Elliot Friedman's been talking about it. There's the chatter around the National Hockey League that he's saving it for the playoffs. Yeah, because like, the best players save it for the playoffs. Like Wayne Gretzky. He didn't, you know, why would he get 250 points? I'm going to save it for the playoffs. It's called playing, you know, improving throughout the season and getting better and refining your game. You don't save it for the playoffs. You don't go through 7 months and then save it for the playoffs and a chance that you might lose. That's the biggest garbage argument I've ever heard.
Okay, Richie, so the next trade that we're going to recap here is the Anaheim Ducks acquisition of Dan Ellis.
Oh, look at last night.
From the Tampa Bay Lightning who's traded from the Tampa Bay Lightning for Curtis McIlhenny. Now, you mentioned that he played well last night, except, you know, played really well last night, Jose Theodore. He got the first star of the game. Ellis, who we've talked about Ellis before. You know, we kind of got into an argument about Ellis in Tampa, and it turned out that it didn't work out in Tampa, which you were right about. But last night, Clayton Stoner, best name in the NHL.
yeah, that's a great name.
Scored on Ellis in the third period through his legs. Terrible goal. But he, aside from that, he actually had a pretty solid game. You know, as we mentioned before, Minnesota won that game. But in Anaheim, they acquired Ray Emery. Shortly after Jonas Hiller was experiencing fatigue. Now, it actually turns out they're saying Jonas Hiller thinks he has vertigo.
Yes, and that's a big thing there. He's their best. I mean, look at Anaheim, and you look at the strength and weaknesses of that team, and Jonas Hiller is the biggest strength of that team. I mean, their defense is pretty bad. Their offense has been okay, but not great. And he's been the best player of the team, bar none. So the truth is, losing him is such a devastating loss for the time being.
Did they go after Ellis because it's looking like Hiller's
absolutely.
Done?
Absolutely. McElhenney's not a great goalie. I like the trade for Anaheim, and you have Emery there, you have Ellis. I mean, Ellis has played well. Obviously, he hasn't really ever played to the level he did in 07-08 with the Predators.
Mm-hmm.
But last season, you know, he was respectable. You know, posted a 9-10 save percentage. He wasn't bad. I mean, Tampa took a risk on him. Steve Eiserman thought he might be able to be the guy. So Anaheim gets him. He's clearly played poorly for the first half of the season. Why not try him out? Maybe he's due to play better. In my opinion, he is due to play better. His career save percentage is .907. He was playing in Tampa at 88% level. So he is due to play better. Like the acquisition by Brian Murray, who, by the way, signed a four-year extension, which we can talk about
Bob
later. Bob
Murray.
Sorry, that's right. Bob Murray.
There's two Murrays.
But, overall, I like the acquisition by Anaheim. I mean, if you're relying on a goaltender, Emery and Ellis give you a better chance than McElhenney. And I'm forgetting the Finnish netminder right now. I'll pull his name up.
It's not Mikko Koskinen. He was on New York. Wow, there's been a goalie carousel in the NHL this year. When you think of it, just interrupt me. You have to think, though, even though Ray Emery, in three games with Syracuse, won two of those games, you have to think
Timo Pelmier, that's what his name is.
I'm not even going to repeat that, Richie.
Okay.
I'm going to be honest. That's one of the harder names to pronounce. You have to think that Bob Murray, even though, you know, Emery looked good, and all the reports are that Emery's in decent shape and has played well.
You can't pin your hopes on him.
He couldn't pin his hopes on him. And Anaheim, even though they've kind of dropped out of that eighth spot and are basically are tied with Chicago, right, if I'm not mistaken, you have to think that the goal for this team is to make the playoffs. When you have the best line in hockey with Ryan Getzlaff, Corey Perry, and Bobby Ryan, and you have, you know, those big names that they have, Timo Solani, Lubomir Vyshnovsky, guys that are, you know, these aren't guys that are there for a rebuilding year. You have to think that this move was, this has to do with Jonas Hiller and the fact that he might not come back.
And from Tampa's perspective, Ezzy, they're getting rid of a guy who's on the cap for next year and this season at 1.5. He's not the guy, so they get rid of a cap hit for next year. Stevie Eisman, once again, doing a great job of getting rid of that, getting rid of a, you know, not a burdensome contract by any means, but a contract that you don't need on the books if you don't think he's going to be the guy. So you get rid of him, you take on McElhenney, who makes $1 million less, and is an RFA next year. You don't have to sign him, you can trade him. Again, Steve Eiserman knows what he wants to do, admits mistakes, knows weaknesses, gets it done. This guy's already a top 10 general manager, quickly moving up into the top 5 as far as I'm concerned.
On Thursday, the Atlanta Thrashers moved defenseman Brent Sopel and forward Nigel Dawes, who is a Winnipegger, to the Montreal Canadiens for forward prospect Ben Maxwell and a 4th-round draft pick. Now, you look at this trade for Montreal and you say, okay, well, Brent Sopel, you know, we're getting a defenseman. He won the Stanley Cup. This is, you know, is this going to be that big of a deal? It might be a big deal because Montreal is right now employing a pretty thin defense core.
It's a thin red line.
And, you know, you look at Nigel Dawes and, you know, it's debatable whether Nigel Dawes is going to be a starter.
It's because
Montreal's strength is at forward.
All Montreal needs, Ezzy, is more small forwards who are intermittently score, right? Their weakness is at forward, though. That's the truth. And their defense is the weakness.
I think their strength is at forward.
No, this season their weakness has been at forward, Ezzy. The problem, of course, and
I think they've just been having trouble. Like,
their defense is a strength except with all the injuries. Now it's become a weakness.
Right.
I mean, their best player is Carey Price.
Yes, their best player has been Carey Price. He's the MVP, no doubt.
You look at the team, I mean, they add Sopel, who I like, who can play a solid right side defense. He's a good shot blocker, one of the best in the league. He can kill penalties. He's a Jacques Martin type player. He can move the puck pretty well. He used to be an offensive player in Vancouver. You add Nigel Dawes, who can score a bit when given the opportunity, but he can't do much else. And so if you're scoring and you can't play top two lines, then you're relegated to fourth line minimal ice time, if at all. So, I mean, I actually don't mind his game. He's not a bad player, but he's a scorer who can do little else to help you. That's a factor. Now, on the other hand, you trade a 4th-round pick, negligible for the most part. I mean, 5th-round picks are really useless. 4th-round picks aren't as useless, but they're, you know, they have some value, but very minimal. And then you have Ben Maxwell, who Rick Dudley.
That's why I don't even think I threw in that 4th-round draft pick, because that's like a bag of hockey pucks. Just kidding.
And Rick Dudley quoted us saying, Ben Maxwell, 2nd-round pick. Yep. I feel like he's warranted that pick. I feel like he's got the talent to do so, and you're going to see him here pretty soon. I've seen Ben Maxwell play a little bit. I haven't loved his game, didn't notice him that much. Rick Dudley's obviously seen him more than I have, likes his game. Rick Dudley's a very good talent evaluator. In this sense, he's trading two guys. Sopel's a pending UFA, making $2 million a year, and you have a depth of defense in theory. I mean, Atlanta's weakness has been very much has a defensive weakness this year, but talent-wise, they have a lot of talent on defense. So they trade Sopel, no big deal, pending UFA. Nigel Dawes has been playing in the AHL, pending RFA. You get a young player on an entry-level deal and a 4th-round pick. Win-win to me. Really, I mean, win for Atlanta, okay for Montreal, too. I don't mind it. I think both teams did fine by here.
Richie, are they... I should clarify, I mean the Thrashers, are they clearing salary straight up, or Are they trying to bring in someone else here on either defense?
Well, I mean, remember, as you traded Vallebec and you acquired Mark Stewart. So what you did there is you already have Enstrom and Byfuglien are your top two, right?
Right.
And then, well, in theory, Bogosian's better than Byfuglien, but Bogosian, and then Oduya, right? And then Hainsey, and you added Mark Stewart. You have Freddie Meyer who's injured, but you have Mark Stewart. So Mark Stewart gets in there, he replaces Sopo, and you get a young player.
It's funny, when we had Chris Vivlamore on last week of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, he said that he was leaning towards Zach Bogosian not getting traded, and now we're hearing that he still might be on the block. So if that's the case, you have to think that a defenseman's coming back.
You'd have to think that.
Somebody's not getting Zach Bogosian for cheap. As far as this trade goes, this is one of those trades that probably would have looked very familiar on a trade deadline type of day.
Very trade deadline type of day. I agree with that.
Right. Brent Sopel's been traded a couple times at the trade deadline, if I'm not mistaken, from Vancouver. I might be wrong about that.
You played in Vancouver. You played on...
No, Michael,
Chicago.
maybe if you want, you can check on this for me.
Remus, check it up. Brent Sopel's career.
But... this is a deal that might take away for a little bit of our work on trade deadline day, which is either a good or bad thing. It's one of those deals that I think is necessarily not going to give the most ramifications as far as instant goal scoring and all that goes. So do you want to keep going with these trades, or do you want to maybe leave a couple for the next segment?
Want to go to break,
Kevin? Because we've got a couple other things that we have to bring up. Brent Seabrook might be signing a contract.
Yeah, we'll bring that up in the second hour. Brent Seabrook, who I think is a little bit overrated.
Because we've got Shelly Anderson not too far away. She's coming up at 10.
Before we go to break, we've got one more segment here before we go to Shelly. Remus, where do you find us?
You can find us at on the chat at illegalcurve.com or, follow us on Twitter. Especially this week, we'll be tweeting all of our analysis on all the trades and all the great information you want to know about hockey at twitter.com/illegalcurve and facebook.com/illegalcurve.
As we said in the second segment, we're all over the internet, and we would hope that you can obviously, and also, and Remus is going to tell you about this later on, you can find us on iTunes, and that aspect of our show and that new element of this program has really been a nice added touch. The podcast's growth in iTunes obviously has been a very very good work by Michael.
All right, let's go to break. We'll continue recapping trades. And there's a couple of other little news and notes we'll fit in there.
There you go.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. That was a little over the top.
That was a little Drew-esque.
Where's Drew? I am Ezra. He is Richard. He is Michael. He is Tim. I'm filling in for Drew, who is with his fiance in Kentucky right now. And we are recapping. Basically a few trades here.
We traded Drew for future considerations. It's called a broken BlackBerry.
There's that sound effect we wanted. Drew and Laura, that's for you. The Nashville Predators traded...
Speaking of... nice segue from Drew to Predators.
Drew's favorite team. Yesterday, the Nashville Predators traded Alexander Sulzer to the Florida Panthers for a conditional draft pick. Richie, your thoughts?
I mean, he's a bigger defenseman. He's limited in terms of capabilities offensively. I mean, he adds some nice elements, but... If you can't make the Nashville has a good top two there, obviously. Kevin Klein has done a nice job there as well, and they have some youngsters moving through the system, so they're just making room. Florida's not very good. I mean, this is an inconsequential trade as far as I'm concerned.
Next trade is from this past week. The Florida Panthers traded Corey Stillman, who was rumored to be on the block.
I'd like to know the rumor about him being in the NHL still. Is that true?
Corey Stillman was traded by the Florida Panthers to the Carolina Hurricanes for Ryan Carter and a fifth-round draft pick in 2011.
A fifth-round draft pick, so essentially the same as an undrafted free agent, and Ryan Carter, a fourth-line center at best. This is a salary dump by Florida. I don't, you know, I mean, this is what happens, guys. These veteran teams, the young teams sign veteran players who are quote-unquote winners, like Corey Stillman, who's won the Cup with Carolina and Tampa Bay. And then this one player who's a complimentary player doesn't make a team that he's playing on a winner because nobody's any good. And then they waste, and then he takes the money, which he, you know, rightfully should, and he gets traded to back to the team where he was before, where he can be a complimentary, you know, second line winger. Stillman, you know, he used to play a little bit of center, not anymore. I mean, he signed this year $3.5 million. Florida's cutting salary because their team is, you know, terrible. And Carolina's trying to add a piece moving forward, and they love to add players they used to have before. I mean, they brought back Paul Maurice, for God's sake. They brought back many people, you know. This is not the first time they've done such a thing. You know, Eric Cole, the same thing.
Joe Corvo?
Joe Corvo, Eric Cole. I mean, Jim Rutherford likes what he knows, and so that's what he's done here. You know, Corey Stillman, you know, he's never been fleet of foot. He's got very good vision. He's an excellent passer. Luckily, you know, he's 36 years old. But the truth is, if you're going to have one skill moving forward, it's nice to have a passing skill because he was never a good skater. So he doesn't have to address his game that way. He'll be a nice complimentary player up there. I mean, a 3.5 is a hefty price, but you're only paying it for about, you know, a third or one quarter of the season. No problems with the trade, and you give up nothing, really.
Richie, you know, all jokes aside, Corey Stillman, who won a cup in 06 with the Hurricanes, has always been close to a point a game player, and when you're considering that they're taking on, you know, $500,000 to $1 million of his salary, something like that. I'm not on capgeek.com right now, so I can't check that. You guys would have to correct me on that, but for that amount of money, when you're a team that's basically right now clinging to that eighth playoff spot, mm-hmm. that's huge. And I mean, Carolina, to me that was a good acquisition. When I saw that, you know, Corey Stillman, there was rumors that a Western Conference team might pick him up. But when I saw that he was traded to Carolina, I thought, okay, you know, Corey Stillman's been in Carolina before. He's had success there. He is older, but as far as an added depth piece, that made a lot of sense because I think he had either 1 or 2 points last night. I didn't watch that game, obviously, because we had
no points.
Hockey last
no points
night,
yesterday. His first game in Carolina, no points.
Oh, he didn't have any points. I thought he had an assist
plus
yesterday.
Plus two.
Okay, plus two, all right, so... Yeah. You know,
and
he made me not look so bad. But.
For his career, he's been you know, about a 0.7 per point per game player.
Right.
So,
and remember that line of Stillman, Stahl, and Cole.
Yeah.
They were the big line there. Obviously, Stahl's injured. Hopefully, not for too long. But that is a move, Florida, and we're going to go division by division, team by team, starting at 10:15 after we have Shelley Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette on. But Florida is a team, Richie, that a lot of people are looking at as big-time subs.
Yeah, of course.
Because they've got a very young team, lots of prospects, and, you know, are they going to move a Stephen Weiss?
They might move David Booth. They might move Stephen Weiss. They might move
Stephen Weiss.
Radek Dvorak. They might move Steve Bernier. They might move Chris Higgins, who's terrible. They probably move Marty Reasoner. I mean, they might move their whole team, for God's sake. Brian McCabe might go. In all honesty, all those guys might go.
Got a couple no-trade clauses in there with Brian McCabe. And Stephen Weiss.
I love how they're like, you know, like McCabe wants to stay in Florida, and it's like, first of all, why the heck would a Talon sign him? There's no incentive to sign him. Second of all, why does McCabe want to go to Florida? Nobody goes to the games. The team hasn't been to the playoffs in 10 years. I understand he wants to tough it out, but it's not like he's been with that organization for 10 years. I mean, he's been with them for a couple of years. Tough it out. Why don't you go to a place that actually cares about hockey, have some pressure, and win?
Maybe he likes the nice weather, you know, like going to the arena in shorts, you know?
Is that the kind of player you want on your team?
You have to think that it's also good for McCabe that there aren't that many people in Florida that can watch him play, though, because he's not exactly Alexander Ovechkin at this point in his career. I mean, you have to think that if Brian McCabe is going to waive his no-trade clause, it would have to go back to a team that's in the playoffs. Like, I'm thinking of Vancouver, but Vancouver's not taking on that salary.
No. He's going to the Rangers, most likely.
Or a team like the Rangers that... He's only waiving that no trade clause to go to a playoff team and a team that he likes so hey, if you want to go to a team that loves to spend money where they shouldn't, i.e. Wade Redden.
An interesting article in the Wall Street Journal, actually Gabe Desjardins posted it, about the players in the AHL, and basically like they're talking about how Mike Commodore is in the AHL right now and he's buying things for the team and he feels guilt, like now it's the point where he feels he has to buy everything because he's making so much more money than the rest of these guys. Interesting article.
I actually read that article. It's kind of interesting that now the players are kind of starting to feel like they're mooching off him and they want to maybe pay for stuff that they shouldn't also.
Yeah. Hey, there's nothing wrong with mooching. I mooch off of Richie all the time. I go over to his house because he's got the good good fuzzy peaches.
I mooched off you for this canned drink. And, of course, you broke the handle in my car yesterday.
Well, you had to bring that up, eh?
Yeah, of course.
You had to bring that up. I don't even know how that happened. I'm not, like, I'm as weak as a kitten.
It's
like
tried to get in the back of my car, and then he holds up the handle, and it broke.
Yeah, you're going to be hearing about that one for the next 10 years.
Oh, yeah, for sure. No question about it.
Okay, so another move that that took place yesterday, which isn't a trade, but
stop short.
Is a significant move, was the LA Kings placed Marco Sturm on waivers.
Nice to see that they're happy with their acquisition.
Yeah, they gave him, what, a grand total of 19 games? Sturm actually picked up an assist on Thursday night.
Nicholas Hagg was on waivers and scored a beauty last night.
For the Kings. The Kings beat the Wild 4-2 on Thursday night. Wow, the Kings are looking good. I know I'm just saying this maybe because I picked them to go all the way to the finals, but...
You know, your picks of LA and Tampa look not bad right now.
LA, it looks...
Ravens, who are your picks for the finals?
I don't know. All I remember is I picked Pekka Rinne to win the Vezina.
Ooh, I know.
Well, you know what? Pekka Rinne, though, you have to consider what's gone on in Nashville, though. I mean, Pekka Rinne, I still think he's a fantastic goaltender. I think that, you know, that pick it's turning out to be a bad pick.
No pick.
But the amount of injuries that they've had on forward, and they weren't really...
They suck on forward anyway.
Yeah. They're not...
Let's pull up our predictions, by the way.
Yeah, I'll pull them up.
Let's do some mid-season review. Or... three-quarter season review.
Are they moving Sturm off the roster to make way for Hemsky or Richards? Or is
it's
am
a good question.
Is it too much to say that?
They still have cap room anyways. As you know, I check CapGeek right now. I'm pretty sure they have cap room anyways, regardless. So, I mean, I think they can still take somebody on right now. Sturm is, you know, he is what he is. I mean, they knew what they were getting. I don't know why they're suddenly surprised. If somebody pick him up and take him off their hands, okay. But and Dean Lombardi is a pretty judicious general manager. He looks into everything. He knows what he's doing. You know, he had Hagman, too. He went through waivers. They see if they can waive him, and then he comes right back on the roster. The Kings have $4 million in cap space, so anybody they take on this year would be fine.
Sturm had 9 points in 17 games.
He's a fast skater. Obviously, he's had some like knee problems, so he's maybe not as fast as he once was. He's a good penalty killer. He's a useful player. No problems with him. He's not a $3.5 million player, but he's useful.
He was infamously part of that Joe Thornton from Stuart Thornton trade.
Primo and Sturm.
Yep.
Still waiting for the other two players. They haven't yet been traded.
Marco Sturm has always, you know, struck me as a player that had a lot of skill, but was always a player that needed to be on the right line. And, you know, it always seemed like Sturm, there was always a streak. There was always some reason why. There was always a reason why he was getting moved.
He's good speed. As he has a 25 goal hands. He doesn't have 30 goal hands, really.
Right. It's now 9:56, so we're going to, you know what, we'll take a quick break here. And we have Shelly Anderson who will be coming up. She'll be up in about 3 minutes' time. She's going to talk to us about some of the trades the Penguins made this week and obviously Sidney Crosby.
Guest.
So keep it locked here. We're going to have Shelly Anderson coming right up after the break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's 10 o'clock. We've already been on the air for 1 hour.
Crazy, man.
It's just flown by. if you haven't been listening, Drew Mandel is in Kentucky.
Drew, as far as we're concerned, you can stay there.
He'll be back on Monday for the Illegal Curve Trade Deadline Spectacular.
We'll be
on the air from 2 o'clock till 7 o'clock Central Time. Breaking down all the trades, it's going to be a crazy day. If it's anything like the last 2 weeks, it's going to be a crazy day.
Yeah.
Because we've seen, like we said, I haven't counted every single one of them, but we've seen somewhere in between 15 and 20 trades in the last 2-3 weeks. So it's been nuts. So do we have Shelly on the line?
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We are pleased to be joined by Shelly Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Shelly, welcome back to the Legal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on, Shelly.
So the Penguins' big move this week, and it wasn't the Alexei Kovalev
which trade. We'll talk about.
We will talk about that with you, but the big move was the acquisition of James Neal and Matt Niskanen from Dallas in exchange for Alex Goligoski. Why did Pittsburgh make this trade when their weakness is seemingly at center?
Well, I think that this is not a trade that was your typical deadline trade. This is not something that's just for the short run to try and make the playoffs or make a playoff run this year. this is something that they wanted to do for the long term. This is acquiring a potential core player for this group. And if you look at the long run, they're deep at center. It's just a short-term thing right now in terms of the overall future of the club that they have a problem at center because of injuries. But, you know, you would look at next year and beyond with Sidney Crosby, Katie Malkin, and Jordan Staal. That gives you a lot of depth down the center, and they've got many, many fourth-line type centers in the organization, and those aren't that difficult to go out and get if you do get to the point where you need one. So what they really needed long-term are scoring wingers, people that can complement these centers, and that's what this deal was about.
Shelly, they add James Neal here, obviously. You know, they address that need on the wing. They address the scoring winger, a guy who's under 25 years old and really not even reached his prime yet. Can you talk a little bit about the acquisition of Matt Niskanen? People know about James Neal. People know he's been, been flanking Brad Richards with Louis Erickson there in Dallas, and he's a terrific scorer. But Matt Niskanen's got some puck skills. Can you talk a little bit about him and why they had him included in the deal?
Yeah, it's interesting. From what we understand, there was I guess at one point that the deal was maybe even going to be a one-for-one out, Skorodowski for James Neal, and Rachel pushed to be another player and to get a in return. And Matt Niskanen is someone who as a rookie with Dallas, was really good, really came up and had really good success. And I think that can be a good and bad thing in this league. And he, since then, he kind of regressed some. There were some confidence problems and confidence issues over the next couple of years. And this was someone that was a young player who's got potential, but needed maybe a change of scenery and a change of pace. Come and join a club like this that's got it back together in terms of in the locker room and where it's going and things like that, and kind of looking for a fresh start. And yet he's only 23, so you know he's got a huge upside too. So he's someone that right now I think you're looking at maybe not top four, but certainly top six defenseman, but someone who can grow into an even bigger role with them.
Yeah, offensively talented as far as I'm concerned. There is certainly some potential there. You know, and we speak of potential, and the guy who's had potential his entire career, really, is Alexei Kovalev. You've seen him in Pittsburgh before, and is his second John through town. You know, Shelly, he's obviously, they can call him Enigma. Everybody calls him the same thing. You know, a talented player who's never really realized all his potential. It says Gretzky, says Lemieux, says everybody else. This team's outing him now, though, when it's a very different situation. No Malkin, no Crosby. Are they looking to him as maybe strictly a power play contributor, or are they looking at him to be a little bit more than that?
I think that absolutely the power play is where he's, can have the biggest impact with this club, given that they've struggled some on the power play all year, even when they had most of their players healthy. And he's someone, and it's funny because they're kind of using him on the point and in the backside a little bit, which is interesting, but create some things on the periphery because that they're just not getting their shots from out there. They're not getting the penalty killers to open up a little bit. But that doesn't mean that they're not going to look for him to contribute 5-on-5, too. I mean, they put him on the top line in the first game that they played, and he created a couple of things. I don't believe he actually had any shots registered, but he created a couple of things for some line mates. And I really do think that they expect him to come in and maybe even be more of a playmaker than a scorer, but certainly someone who's going to round out this and help. They're having a real hard time finishing with all the guys that are hurt, and maybe he can help produce some of that a little bit, whether it's setting someone up with a gimme goal or putting in a couple himself.
You know, Shelly, we asked you this on January 8th when you were last on, and we're going to ask you again. Can you update us on the health of Sidney Crosby, and is there any chance he won't play again this season?
Sure, there's a chance he won't play because no one knows exactly how this is going to go. It's not a conventional injury. I've gotten a chance to just real briefly get a couple of casual kind of conversations with him, and the symptoms are subsiding. Still, they have been. I think that they're not maybe not. I don't know if the headaches are as severe as they were, but they aren't coming quite as often. But they still are coming, and as long as that's the case, he's not going to be cleared to ramp up from his light exercises, much less get back to practice or play. So it really all comes down to whenever he's symptom-free, if it's next week or next month or next year, and then from there he can take it, and as long as he remains symptom-free, he'll go along the progression to get himself back into shape and ready to play again. So there's no guarantee he won't be back, or there's no guarantee he will be back this season. I'm sure that everyone's hopeful that he will be in Pittsburgh, and that's a possibility. There's enough weeks left he could get in there in the playoffs, but we just don't know.
As if the Penguins needed more bad injury news, Brooks Orpik is now out 4 to 6 weeks with a broken finger. How do you think Dan Bylsma is going to adjust his defense corps, you know, basically missing your top penalty killer and shot blocker?
And you lose Goligoski.
I mean, it's a huge loss on multi-levels there for the Penguins with Brooks Orpik. He's one of their inspirational leaders, very nonsense guy in the locker room. They've got basically what Dan Bylsma talked about is kind of filling in for him by committee, with Paul Martin also out the past couple of games and possibly back tonight or Wednesday. We haven't seen completely what Dan Bylsma is going to do to fill in, but you know, he was part of the top pairing, you know, what they consider a shutdown pairing to go against the other team's top lines with Chris Letang. He was their top penalty killer in terms of a defenseman, and also the physical aspect. You've got a Derek Englund, who's a young guy. He brings some physical play, maybe not as intimidating to other teams just in general as the Brooks Orpik. And then you've got other guys that are going to have to fill in for the penalty killing. You've got some good guys, but they're not necessarily his talent. So that's going to be a huge loss for a month, and that's something that he's going to give them a whole new dimension when you get to the playoffs to have him back.
We are joined on the line by Shelley Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
Sure, this team has transformed quite a bit. You know, in the past, obviously, offensively stacked, and goaltending is, you know, I've always thought has been talented, but maybe inconsistent. This year, they're pretty well balanced. I mean, considering all the injuries, the defense has been very, very solid. The goaltending has been very good. The offense, you know, has been pretty good, obviously struggling a bit lately. How big of a factor is Dan Bylsma in the overall balance? And obviously, Ray Shero plays a factor, but how big of a factor is Dan Bylsma in the overall balance of the team?
That's a really good point. And I think you have to go back, I've said this before, but you have to go back to last summer when Dan Bylsma, the coaching staff, and Ray Shero sat down before the start of free agency and said, you know, what do we want to do? It was pretty obvious that it was going to be difficult, if not impossible, to get Sergei Gonchar to re-sign here. Mm-hmm. And so they decided to really kind of revamp things. They really did tweak. They got this system that Dan Bylsma and the Penguins have run at the NHL level and the minor league level for some years now. But they decided to tweak what they're doing on defense. They wanted the defense to really create a very quick transition. It was kind of an awkward thing for them to do. It was not something that puck retrieval and getting it up the ice was not something that they were mostly used to doing, but they decided to build it that way and figured they could plug in anyone into the system and have it work. And that's really been, we've really seen the fruits of that with these injuries. Again, the problem is that they're not being able to finish, don't have the talent to finish some of the goal scoring at the other end, but the defense, it worked out really well, and so also helped Marc-Andre Fleury have just a tremendous season, which has been, I mean, without that, they would really be sunk.
The confidence of some of the defensemen has obviously improved, but I mean, one guy who really stands out to me, and this is, I mean, pointing out fairly obviously, but it's Chris Letang. And one thing you, Shelley, have noticed is he is continually, I mean, in my opinion, I want to get you to comment on this. He seems to every year, and obviously with some experience, but his poise with the puck is close to the top, to me, one of the top defensemen in the National Hockey League when it comes to his poise with the puck and how patient he is and how he can read plays.
I agree with you, and some of that is natural skill, and he arrived with that, and I think the Penguins saw that early on. But the problem was that he knew that he was a little bit deficient defensively, and he really was working on that. Not only was he working on that, but his confidence in it was not very good. And so for the first few years, we saw really a lot of this skill, but we also saw a player who was hesitant. He was hesitant to join the rush or pinch in because he wasn't completely confident that he was going to be able to get back. He didn't want to leave his team in the lurch defensively. He had to build confidence that one of the forwards or his defensive partner was going to rotate around and cover for him and everything would be okay. This season that has all come together, and that poise with the puck that you talked about is just really on display because he's just confident in what he can do and what his teammates are going to allow him to do.
This week we saw GM Ray Shero pull the trigger on a few moves. Is he done, or can we expect a few more moves before the deadline?
He's looking. There's no question he's looking, but I don't think he's of the mind that he has to do something else. I think he wouldn't mind doing something else, but it's going to have to be, he's not going to do a big mortgage of the future kind of a situation right now. It's probably going to be more along the lines of the rental players, probably another Kovalev type of move, but it just depends on what's going to be out there and what he's going to have to give up. I've not heard, it's funny, it's been quiet, I've not heard anything you know, specific names. We knew Kovalev's name for some time and knew that that was, you know, a possibility that was going to happen. We haven't heard anything specific about upcoming trades before the Monday deadline. I know that it wouldn't hurt to add another defenseman, but Ray Sherrill has said right now defensemen are really coming at a premium, and he's not sure he's going to be able to give up what it would take to get someone who could fit in here. So it's really going to be a matter of those last-minute things. This might be the Ray Sherrill 2:55 p.m. Eastern time that happens on Monday when he pulls something. He's done that. He has a record of doing that.
Shelly Anderson of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, thank you for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We'll give you at least 4 or 5 weeks. We'll have you on again.
It's my pleasure, guys. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Shelly Anderson comes on again and breaks down everything that we need to know about the Pittsburgh Penguins. And you know what? We're gonna continue to have Shelly on because Pittsburgh is, you know, obviously one of the better teams in the league. But with the fact that they're you know, almost always newsworthy is one of the reasons why we always have Shelly on.
The Sidney Crosby team, but the truth is, and Michael knows this as well. I mean, we booked her when after the James Neal deal went down, and then the Kovalev deal. So it ended up being extra topical this week.
So we'll go to break here quickly, and then when we come back, we're going to start our division by division, team by team preview. We're going to go, basically what we're going to do is we are going to run down the needs and wants of every team and, you know, talk about who is realistically going to be moved and, you know, who will for sure be moved. We've also got Adam Proto of the Hockey News coming up at 10:45, so don't change the dial, or if you're listening on your computer, don't click the X.
Don't go to Facebook.
You can have Facebook open, but make sure that you've got your player of...
Only if you had Ezzie Jude.
Your Sports Radio 1290 player on. We're going to go to break right now, so when we come back... We'll start our big time preview.
There we go.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. It's 10:15. I am Ezra. He is Richard. He is Michael. He is Tim. And Drew is not here because he's in Kentucky with Laura, his fiancée. And they're probably, looking at wedding cakes and the like.
Testing out the wedding cakes, taking a bite.
So right before we get into a couple of other things, including the beginning of our division-by-division breakdown, we want to welcome, which was announced 2 days ago.
That's right.
We want to welcome to Sports Radio 1290, Hustler and Lawless, who will be debuting their new 2-hour drive-home show on March 16th.
That's so right. 4 to 6.
Welcome to Hustler and Lawless, who were previously on CJOB. Gary Lawless, obviously, is a columnist for the Winnipeg Free Press.
And Hustler, just a street hustler.
Yeah.
They found him on the street, and he's just this hustler. Like
I'm a hustler. Everybody
and
knows
Lawless
Hustler.
Is like, I think you'd be a good co-host.
Everybody knows Hustler. So we want to welcome Hustler and Lawless to Sports Radio 1290. It was big news 2 days ago, and we want to welcome them to Sports Radio 1290. And hopefully, you know, we'll have either one of them or both of them on Illegal Curve at some point. We've had Tim Campbell and Randy Turner of the Free Press on before, and hopefully we're going to have Mr. Lawless on here, and he's been covering the whole Coyotes thing, and he obviously covers the NHL as well. Are we going to go division by division, or...
Wait.
And now, breaking news.
Remus, what's up?
All right, sources say... Chicago Blackhawk defenseman Brent Seabrook is close to a 5-year extension with the Chicago Blackhawks. We're looking at a total contract value of about $30 million. Bob McKenzie's been reporting on Twitter, average cap hit about $5.8 million.
That's high.
It's a lot of shekels right there.
That's high. I mean, to me, that's high. He's not offense. He's a good first passer. He's not a great quarterback on the power play, guys. He's a pretty good shutdown defenseman, but $5.8 million? I know you're buying out some UFA years there, right, Michael?
Yeah, he's slated to become an RFA after the 11-12 season.
How old is he? My computer stalled here.
He's 25. He was drafted in 2003.
Okay, so 25. So, you know, the UFA is 25, 26, around there. So one more season of RFA, then you're buying out UFA. Okay, maybe. 5.8, though, for that defenseman, to me, that's a lot of money.
Well, I think it's also a lot of money, you know, considering they're already playing Brian Campbell, 7.1, and Duncan Keith. I mean, your top three defensemen right there are about $20 million.
That's a great point. I mean, that eats a lot of your cap. And it's, you know, what you're paying somebody in a cap system It's coming out of somebody else's pocket.
I mean, boys, that's the foundation of this team, though. I mean, and especially considering that they lost so many of those forwards. I mean, you know, Richie, if you're Stan Bowman, how do you not give? I mean, I agree with you that for Brent Seabrook, who, you know, he's actually having his career offensively, he's having his career year this year.
But
if you consider the position he's in, how do you not give Seabrook that money? I mean, you're thinking. I know for maybe his offensive output and his age, maybe in the length of the contract, you consider, you know, that Keith and Campbell are under contract. But
he's making 3.5 this year, Ezzy. Making 3.5, and you're giving him. That's a big increase. I mean, Chalmerson's up on the board for 3.5 moving forward. Keith's at 8. Rima said it right. I mean, Keith's cap at 5.5, mind you. But so you're basically, I know, and Keith signed for like forever. But you're paying Brent Seabrook a higher cap hit than Duncan Keith. To me, Duncan Keith is a superior defenseman. I don't understand, guys. You know, you have these internal caps, right? The old Lidstrom theory, the old internal cap. You don't pay anybody more than the best player. Like when Bobby Ryan signed, he didn't sign for more than Ryan Getzlaff. Why is Brent Seabrook signing for a higher annual cap hit than Duncan Keith?
If you're just joining us, TSN is reporting that Brent Seabrook is on the verge of signing a 5-year, $30 million contract. Bob McKenzie is tweeting that the Brent Seabrook deal is very close to being completed, so it might be completed later today. It might be completed, Sunday or Monday, but that's the breaking news of this morning, is that Brent Seabrook, who obviously is a Olympic gold medalist, Stanley Cup winner, young defenseman as part of an amazing core in Chicago.
And I know they won the cup, so it's defensible.
Right.
The Marian Hossa deal was a terrible deal, too. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's 31 years old now. He's had some injuries in the past. I mean, tore his knee up when he was in Portland Winterhawks in 1998 or whatever, what year it was, in the Mem Cup. I mean, he's had injuries before. I mean, he had he was...
Marian Hossa played in the WHL?
Oh, yeah, Portland Winterhawks, of course. Now, 5.5...
I don't remember
I was
that.
Watching the game. I was watching the
I
game.
I really don't remember
watching
that.
The game, yeah, that he tore his leg up.
Okay.
$5.23 million cap, but sure, for the foreseeable future, I think it's, what, seven more... How many more years is it? At least through 13, 14, and I can expand it here. I mean... You don't need a guy like that, a good scoring winger, when you have guys like Kane and Taves and guys you want to pay like Seabrook. Think about it now. Michael says Kane and Taves are eating 6.3 up per, right? 6.3. Hill says a 5.2. Sharp's at 3.9, going to be a UFA after
Sharp,
next
season.
Sharp,
in my opinion, should be making 7
million. Bolin's at 3.
Love point, Sharp.
Bolin's at 3.3. And then you got all your defensemen. You're paying a lot of guys right there. How much more money do you have for the depth players? Are you always going to have to... My question is, are you always going to have to deal the Lads, the Bufflins, the Versteeks?
Richie, we're obviously expecting Chicago to make the playoffs, but are they a one-hit wonder?
No, they're not, but I wonder with their cap management if they're putting themselves in a corner.
Well, I think that, they think that they can go top-heavy and then maybe fill the rest of the slots with borderline guys on entry-level deals.
And that's a good strategy, and I understand it, and I would advise most managers to do that. But the key to that is that you have a funnel of young talent. And if you don't have young talent at those entry-level contracts, your third and fourth lines won't be good enough, and your fourth and fifth and sixth defensemen won't be good enough to win in the National Hockey League.
Right now, the Chicago Blackhawks are sitting in ninth place tied with the Calgary Flames, who obviously have the tiebreaker, who are in eighth place, but making the playoffs this year is not a guarantee. And if you look at Chicago has not the easiest schedule. They've got a lot of playoff teams coming up. I think they have 21 or 22 games left. And a lot of those games are against Detroit and against teams that are battling with them. So, this has the potential to be a bit of a shocker if the Chicago Blackhawks don't make the playoffs.
Your top four defense in Chicago is going to make over $20 million next year. Over $20 million for your top four defense.
I mean, if you forget about the Campbell contract.
I like that.
If you forget about the Campbell contract, it happened. No, I know. But Jarmelson has been bad this year. So, I mean, I don't know, Rich. I mean, that's not good. That's not good salary cap management.
Lidstrom, Rafalski, Cronwall, and Stewart, that is about $18 million. And that's as good as you're going to get. And I like that Chicago defense. Don't get me wrong, guys. But Lidstrom's at 6.2. Rafalski's at 6. Seabrook's going to be a 5.8.
Seabrook's going to be within $400,000 of Nicholas Lidstrom? Yeah.
Okay. Richie, I want to move ahead quickly here because
sure.
We spent a little time on our breaking news here. Brent Seabrook is close to signing a 5-year, $30 million deal with the Chicago Blackhawks.
Let's go division by division.
We're going to start right now. We're going to preview Monday's NHL trade deadline. We're going to go division by division, team by team.
Northeast Division.
That's right. We're going to start with the Northeast Division. Let's start off with the team who is leading the Northeast Division, and that's the Boston Bruins. They've already made a move. They've made a number of moves.
Brought Wheeler, brought in Cabrelle.
The big move, obviously, was acquiring Tomas Cabrelle from the Toronto Maple Leafs, which was rumored for 3 years.
Yeah.
What does Boston need? What do they want? What's realistically going to happen? What is Peter Chiarelli going to do?
He's fairly unpredictable, but I like their forwards. I think they have good depth throughout the lineup. He can beat you in a number of ways, and the goaltending obviously is second to none. Defense is still an issue, guys. I mean, Cabrelle obviously helps that, but at the same time, I mean, Ferrin, Seidenberg, Boychuk, not bad players. I think Char's overrated, to be honest, but it's my opinion.
Is Brian McCabe in play here?
Well, no, Cabrelle fills that slot as the offensive slot. What they probably need is one. I'd like one more depth defenseman there. I would.
Defensive defenseman.
I think that's what you need. That's it. I mean, Boston's almost done. Defensive defenseman.
Do they have room for Chris Phillips? No.
He would be a nice fit there, but apparently he's negotiating with Ottawa for an extension. But if he didn't sign there, I think that's a good call by you. That's a very good call. I think that would be exactly the type of defenseman they could use.
Next team in the standings is the Montreal Canadiens, Tim's team, a team that I love as far as my top Canadian team.
You know,
what's Montreal going to do? They've made this move acquiring Brent Sopel and Nigel Dawes. Is there something else that's coming?
You lose Spacek and Georges and Markov for the season. I mean, yeah, you know, what do? You have Wisniewski, you have Gill, you have Hamrlik, you have Subban. You bring in Sopel and Mara. I mean, you have to add, in all honesty, ideally another defenseman, better than a fifth or sixth, and then another forward. You know, you try and trade Kostitsyn, and you try and do something like that. You try and add something to their center core. I mean, Plekanec is good. Gomez is washed up. You want to add a center, ideally. You know, on the wings, you're not that bad. You have Camilleri, you have Gionta. You know, Pouliot can be here or there. Pacioretty's been a little bit. Yeah, you could add a forward on Montreal, and you could add a defenseman. Montreal is a team that's looking thin.
The Buffalo Sabres are in third place in the Northeast Division. They're still in the playoff race. Are they gonna pull off a move
Rafa Torres type of deal? Yep. Well, you don't need Rafa Torres, but I know what you're saying. Is he adding a player like that on offense? I mean, Derek Roy obviously has been missed right now, but they need to add defensemen behind Jordan Leopold and Tyler Myers. There's not a defenseman there that really warrants a number three slot. I would like that. If I were them, I'd like to add a defenseman. He could be a puck mover, ideally. That's what I would do. A puck moving two-way defenseman. But hey, those aren't growing trees.
The Ottawa Senators, who have already made 37 trades in the last 2 weeks. What do they need? What do they want?
You know, I mean, they need everything. And what do they want? They want prospects. You know, who would I trade if I were them? I'd trade anybody. I'd trade Neil if he's, you know, somebody to take him on. Any report on that? No, Neil's fine, right, with that knee injury. I'd trade Neil. I would trade...
He's got 1 year left on his contract.
Neil has... No, he has 2 years left after this
year. 2 years, sorry.
2 years at $2 million. That's not cheap. I would trade Chris Neil. I'd trade Kuba, who's rumored to be going to New York, possibly. I would trade Phillips. I would trade Campoli. I'd trade anybody that they'd take. Gonchar, obviously, but I'm not going to be able to trade him. So, I trade all those guys. I'd trade the whole team if I could.
Last place in the division? Actually, no, Ottawa's last place. Second last, I went. I didn't go in proper chronological order. Not chronological, ranking order. Toronto Maple Leafs, are they going to move Clark MacArthur? Are they going to move anyone else?
You know, it's funny. We're going to talk about a little bit about MacArthur in the six things we learned this week, or statistically speaking, mind you, excuse me. But, The Leafs need it all too. I mean, you're gonna ride James Reimer because you're a young team. You're gonna try and trade. You know, you're in the Calgary position here. Do you sell or do you not sell? Now Calgary's obviously been a little better than Toronto, obviously. But are you gonna sell or you not sell? I mean, honestly, if I were them, I would trade anybody. You know, if MacArthur doesn't sign an extension, I would trade him. Although he's RFA, not UFA, so you could hold out on him. But you know, who else? That's the question. I mean, nobody's gonna take Lupul on. For the Leafs, I would trade all their bloated contracts if anybody would take them on, which they won't. Otherwise, you know, you're probably gonna sit still. What can they add? They can stand to improve on offense, defense, and goaltending. So really, anywhere.
Toronto Maple Leafs are currently 6 points out of a playoff spot. There have been rumors that Brian Burke wants to acquire John Michael Lyles. You're probably gonna have to give up.
Oh, another bloated, useless contract on the back end. Oh,
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. With Komisarek, another bloated off a United States defenseman. Oh, Phaneuf, another bloated contract. I mean, do you learn from your mistakes? You got Loophole. His contract's useless. You brought him in so you could get Jake Gardner. I mean, where's the plan? Another bloated contract? You're just going to take all the bloated contracts?
Hey, I'm just a reporter.
No, I know.
I'm just a reporter. Let's go to break.
We'll push it. We're going to
continue going division by division, team by team, breaking down the needs and wants of every team as we near the NHL trade deadline on Monday. 15 minutes from now, we're going to have Adam Proto of the Hockey News. He's been on the show before, and he's always a great guest. So keep it locked. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290.